Prayer.
Thank you, God, for getting me out of your way. Help me to hear your thoughts and your words. This message that you've asked me to share this morning cascades gently into the minds of all those who hear it. Let all of our hearts be more open. Let our fear be left behind. Let us see more clearly so that we see you in everybody that we meet. Amen. So our story this morning from the gospel attributed to Luke tells us of two disciples who do not recognize Jesus as they walk solemnly toward Emmaus, having left Jerusalem, knowing their friend that they would be the Messiah had been crucified. This story, a theme we find in John's Gospel, where Mary, Jesus' good friend, went to the tomb to spread ashes and herbs on his body. When she got there, you know the story, he was not. She sobbed, she cried. And the said, "Why do you cry, woman?" She turned and looked and she said, "Have you heard?" He said, "Why do you seek the living? Why do you seek the dead?" She didn't know it was Jesus until he said, "Mary, it is I, Jesus." Later in John's Gospel, we hear how 10 disciples were gathered in an upper room. They were scared, a room hidden and fortress-like. They were concerned Romans who had crucified Jesus would soon be coming after them, and so the door was locked. And in their fright, appeared Jesus. No knock on the door, no yelling. "Hey, let me in!" Jesus simply appeared. And the closest friends did not recognize him until he showed them his scars. One of the missing Thomas that day, Thomas was elsewhere. And of course, when he heard the story of Jesus' reappearance from his buddies, he doubted it. And so days later, as Jesus appeared with the group again, he walked up to Thomas and took Thomas's hands and placed it on his. So he felt the whole hand in his side and said, "Now, Thomas, do you believe?" So throughout the first days following the death of Jesus, we have these stories in which his very closest friends did not recognize Jesus when he appeared to them. Each story can give us a little window into their lives, their amazement, and perhaps their doubt. They have found themselves silently offering to this, "Is that really you?" In our reading this morning, the stranger, recognizable Jesus on the road to Emmaus, reminds his friends that the scriptures had foretold that Jesus would be coming back, and yet, his friends did not believe. In a Jewish tradition at that time, as continues in many Jewish sects today, there was no death of life after death, no heaven hell. The body died, was lowered into a grave. The spirit went to a place called Sheol. There's no separation from good from bad, from the poor, evil from the just, kings and paupers, all alike headed to Sheol. Their same destiny. When the final breath was expelled, Sheol was there for all. So despite Jesus' Jewish friends, expecting that he would be raised, through his own words, they still did not believe. How, I ask, how is that even possible that his faithful followers did not recognize this man? How is it that they could not believe that it was him? I can't be sure of the answers, but I suspect maybe they too had their doubts. about Jesus being alive. Maybe it was thought that this was just a wild fantasy, or perhaps some intoxicating balm to soothe the depth of their agony for the loss of their friend and their teacher. Maybe they thought, like many today, this is just a preposterous thought. Maybe it was their blindness. Maybe it was that log in their eye. But maybe they had forgotten one of his very important lessons, of the many important lessons, like this one from Matthew 25, when he was telling them, what you do to the least of these, you do to me. He said, when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me water. When I was naked, you gave me clothing. When I was sick, you helped. When I was in prison, you visited me. And they, of course, said to him, when, teacher, when, friend, did we ever see you like that? And he said this very important line, whatever you do to the least of these, you do to me. And maybe that's the point of these stories, why his closest pals didn't recognize him. Maybe they just hadn't really been able to figure out what he meant. Love neighbor, love self, love enemy. He told them then, as I believe he can to tell us now, that he is everywhere. God is everywhere, no matter who you see or what you see. Jesus, God is there. Even the obviously broken down ones who've experienced such losses in their lives that they even comprehend that God could love, could care for them. They cannot understand what God is up to. And yet, mind asks us, forces us to comprehend the idea that there's no place that God is not. And perhaps this is God's test of us, not of the broken, but of us. Perhaps it's them that need to be saved, but rather it is us. It is a test to see if we have learned to love and see Jesus better than it. Can we see the broken? Can we see the criminals? Can we see all the people that Jesus loved on the margins? And perhaps like his disciples may have immediately done, said to the people, is that really you? It's hard to believe that we're seeing Jesus. But the only things that we look for and see are the stars. How ironic that it was only the stars that allowed Jesus' disciples to see who he was. I want to say it again. It is the stars that allowed Jesus' dearest friends to know who he was, that beyond the stars was Jesus. And that just might be the lesson here, that we all have scars. And learning to see past each other's scars is that invitation to see all of us. Wholeness, because everyone has got their scars. Learning to see beyond those scars is to see Jesus. It is to see God. Or said to Mary prior to his ascension, I am going to my father, my your God. Who is full of hatred, disconnection, biases, false righteousness, blatant lies, alienation, demonization, damning, all kind of un-Jesus-like behaviors. So we find ourselves in the world bombarded not by love, clear images of Jesus, but of fear and confusion. Not by kindness, but with rudeness. Not by forgiveness, but condemnation. So is it any wonder that we do not see Jesus among our midst? He is here. He is everywhere. And we, like the disciples, do not recognize him. And yet learning to see him might just be the single biggest thing any one of us can do to counter the very thing we fear most, the negativity that surrounds us and consumes us if we're not careful. And so I challenge us in the moments of anger, suspicion, fear, can we learn to ask of the other, is that really you? Because in that moment of fear, in that moment of judgment, just might realize, as the disciples did, that those scars are actually showing us not the quality of the person, but the cruelty of the world, cruelty of life, how it blinds us to a truth of our being of God's child, always loved, despite how it may be. That should inspire all of us to know that those painful, scarring moments of life can be overcome, for all life is true. All things can be and will be resurrected to those who believe. A lesson for me today, we need to believe the answer to the question, is that really you, will always be yes. Perhaps the world we want to live in, the kingdom of heaven that Jesus promised, comes to life through our willingness to heed his lessons and our willingness to accept the courage to see him, see God in all people, even when they are completely blind to the truth about who they are. They are like us. They have been blinded to the world, to their own goodness. So in their fear of feeling unsafe and unloved, they take on the caricature of a criminal, a drug addict, a homeless person, a drunk, maybe even a Trump supporter or a Biden supporter. Even as followers of Jesus, we are prone to miss this important lesson. I asked a friend of mine recently in California. There, I said, here's a sermon I'm working on. Where have you seen Jesus? And I recognized him. Yes. I saw Jesus when a car full of young black teens pulled up next to me at the convenience store. And I was afraid. I saw Jesus when I saw a grossly overweight man whose clothes were unkempt and he smelled, and I judged him. I saw Jesus when I talked to my neighbor whose political view so desperately different than mine, and I condemned him. He said, that's what I saw Jesus, but I did not recognize him. My friends, disciples, followers of Jesus, hear this. Behind every mask is a face. When that face looks us, it is Jesus. Behind that mask is God. And just as Mary, just as the disciples in the upper room, the two men on the road to Emmaus, who do see him, must. Because once we do, once we get it, once we realize that Jesus and God are absolutely everywhere, it'll change everything for the best. And is that not what we want? Have you ever noticed what happens when you compliment someone or receive a genuine compliment? What happens? Shoulders relax, faces at peace, smile on the face, a sense that, you know, maybe I really do belong. And for that brief moment, there's an opening in the soul that reminds them of who they are. The crack of light comes in, and what happens? They lift themselves up, right? You yourself have had this experience. I challenge you, I urge you, I pray each day you are dead, and that becomes your mission. How can I see Jesus in everyone and lift them up? Because those that and lifting those up need help. It is how we become the very person that we all to be. It is how we become the person that God created us to be. The poet Tukaram, in the 16th, a brilliant Indian poet, said it like this, a bit more humorously perhaps than Jesus. He said, I decided to stop my lie. I called my dog God. He said at first, he was confused. But then, he smiled. And then he started to dance. And you know what? Within a few days, he stopped biting. He said, I'm thinking about doing that with people. This is the story of Jesus. This is the story of resurrection. This is the story that tells us that we see people not as dogs, but as God. We see the God within them, that we see the Jesus within them. We see the God-given potential. That's when we will make our greatest contribution to the world. I want to say that again. When we see the Jesus within, we see the God within and refuse to believe what we've been told by the world, that is how we will change the world. That is how we, you and I together, make the greatest contribution to the world. We together have our hand on the future, one life at a time, one scenario at a time. Yet we will change the world because we have changed our mind about who it is that we are seeing. To be clear, I am not asking you to invite the dangers into your homes, the violent, those who may completely frighten you with good reason, but I am inviting you to invite them into your heart. For you do not know, nor do I, the path that they walk. You do not know the source of their scars, but the scars will always tell you. The scars that look like behaviors, rather the holes in the hands, the scars will always tell you that there was something in them that they are not who God created them to be. On our road, on our Emmaus road, remember that lesson. That the you may be speaking to is Jesus. So our job is this, is to lift others up. See their fullest possibilities, not in their leastness, and love them anyway. For Jesus also knew his scriptures well. And he certainly would have known the book of wisdom, with some words allegedly to Solomon, but more likely given by someone who is aware of Solomon's wisdom, spoke about God like this. God, you love all things that are. You loathe nothing made, for you would not fashion anything that you hate. And so, friends, neither should we. For to hate another is to hate God. It is to hate Jesus. It is to create the hate creator. For to live in this world that we want is to realize that the answer to the question, is that really you? Will always be yes. And when we have the courage to ask and the courage to know the answer, then we will heal the world.